Whew, this has been an emotional morning for me. It's just over a year ago that Tamana and I were here with you guys. I don't know if you remember that. And I'm grateful for this church and your pastors. You guys have been praying for us and holding us up, and I love your pastors. Getting to know Pete and Melanie, but spending time with Len and Lori they're good friends, and I'm thankful for that. Probably a good time for me to be here in their home, just helping them with some marriage issues. No, I'm joking. You just don't play games with them. I'm the guest. I'm the visitor. And they still didn't let me win. Even when I tried, and I think they stacked the deck. But that's just me, and I'm bringing my own cards next time. But no, they're a great couple. This is a great church. And you know what makes this a great church? There's great people in this church, and the great people serve a great God, because it's all about Him, and it's all about what He does and who He is. I do this every time, but it's a good reminder, maybe for me, but also for you. But I have a couple of pictures of my family, just so you know that and family's important to me. So you can show the first. Oh, sorry, I don't know how that got up there. I'll be picking daffodils when I get home.
Yeah.
That was just on Wednesday,
yeah.
And I had to decide: am I gonna cut the grass before I go to Edmonton? Or oh, sorry, that's BC. No, here's a picture of my family, and this was just a year and a half ago. But I'll tell you, in this season, and I want to encourage you as a church, and this is a family church, but family has sustained me over this last year. And at the same time, I know my kids are grieving, but you can grieve together with your family. We don't have tensions and we don't have conflict. And I know there are families like that. And all I can say is, whatever it takes, you resolve the issues in your family. I'm sorry, this is like way off track, but I have a couple of nephews that are not speaking to each other. They're on the other side of the family, but their mom is not well. She's suffering from dementia, and I've talked to both of them after my experience with my kids, and I said, you've got to work things out, because your mom is struggling, and she doesn't have her sons there to support together. And can I just say that I know everybody has different circumstances, and for whatever reasons, but all I can say is, with all of your heart and all of your prayers, seek for restoration and reconciliation in your families. And then I have a picture of us and our grandkids. And so that was just about a year and a half ago, those pictures. So they're kind of forever in my mind. And the word for me this season is clarity. I feel like it seems like I have so many areas and decisions, and I really need to hear what the Lord is saying. So this morning, probably what I'm going to be preaching, teaching, is something many of you heard tons of times. But I realize we need to keep reminding ourselves of this very thing. And that is, this morning I want to talk to you about our advantage. We have an advantage that no other people in the world have, and that advantage is the Holy Spirit. And if this is an encounter weekend, the encounter has to start by receiving the Spirit and living in the Spirit, and even being refreshed in the Spirit, being reminded of the Spirit, being restored with the Spirit. Like, I could say all of these words, and we're all in different places, and some people might be doing great. We need more. And so I want to talk to you about our advantage this morning. And in John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says this, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." The doctrine or the teaching of the Holy Spirit that he's our greatest helper, it's become probably one of the greatest areas of controversy in the Christian world. It's become a place of contention. I know churches that have divided over the teaching of the Holy Spirit. I know families, like brothers. I know brothers that were divided over this doctrine, this teaching of the Holy Spirit, never to speak to each other again, and they were both pastors. I have to say, I'm a simple guy. I'm really naive, because I don't know how does that stuff happen. Let me pray. Could I just get you to put your hands over it like this? Father, we just invite your Spirit to come and speak to us this morning. Whatever place we are in our journey, whatever steps we're taking in our walk, we are desperate without you. So, Father, I pray for all of our hearts and ears, that we would have ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. This morning, I have to say, coming, there's so much pressure. Like, my kids were showing me some of the advertising. Apostolic input. Whew. I don't even know what that means. So you'll have to forgive me. But I read it in Acts chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" he asked them. "No," they replied, "we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit." That was me. In my life, I had never... Well, that's not true. I grew up in a church where at the end of the service, and they didn't do this, but they just said, "We bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." And that's all I ever... I didn't even know what the Holy Ghost was. I knew that the Father was God. I figured that one out. And I knew that Jesus was the guy that we celebrated his birthday and his death. I knew nothing else. And when I was first confronted with the Holy Spirit, it freaked me out. It was like, it was so weird. And it wasn't a matter of me rejecting it. It just didn't even exist in my thinking. You know, I'm not going to try to tickle your ears. I was thinking about it this morning. I've preached over 1,500 messages. I'm over 26,000 days old. And I've eaten over 78,000 meals. And I can't really remember what I had yesterday. And it's kind of like that when it comes to preaching, right? How many messages have you heard? But as you can tell, all of those meals, and probably it's more if I've had four a day, it shows in the way I live. And the way I look, that I've eaten all those meals. And I think that's the way it is with these messages that you hear. God plants these seeds in, you're getting fed. You might not remember it, but you've been fed and you're growing and it's becoming a part of who you are. But I would just say that the whole issue of the Holy Spirit, there's been bad theology based on what people have heard. And there's a lot of weird things that have been associated with the Holy Spirit. But for me, I've learned to want to receive everything that God has for me. So I'm just going to ask you if you can, for the next few minutes, or half hour, hour, that you would kind of come with a blank slate. You might have your doctrines and your ducks in a row, but just for the next little while, I'm going to maybe approach it from a little different perspective because there's so much that we can talk about. And not to bring in negative and preconceived ideas. I have so many friends that they don't want to have anything to do with the Holy Spirit because of strange things or pressures or just weird ways of presenting and talking about the Holy Spirit. And I know this church believes in this, and I know this church teaches this, so probably what I'm going to be teaching with you is not new, but I remember years ago, my wife and I were doing a life group, and it kind of started with people that didn't know Jesus. And it came out of a really tragic event. I was working, I don't want to get into the whole story because that would be a whole morning, but I was working in the church and I felt like I'm so introverted in the church. How do I get out of the church? I was teaching in a Christian school. I was leading youth. We were doing all that kind of stuff. And this tragic accident happened in our community. And God brought a person into my life who was directly affected by it. And none of them were Christians. He just happened to come into the church, and I just happened. You know how it just happened. God has these things. And he introduced me to the family. We started meeting with the family. I was the only Christian in their lives. And they just lost their daughter tragically. She was murdered. And I didn't even know what to do. All I knew is I could pray with them and I could just listen and hear. We started a life group with their family and their neighbors. And then the manager of the restaurant that she worked at, she started coming. And I always remember her story because we would do a lot of teaching and they all became believers. And then we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they all got filled with the Holy Spirit. And she would... Back then, you couldn't text because we didn't have texts. It was landline only. But she would often phone me at night, and she said, "Oh, Dave," she says, "I got spooked today." Because we talked about the Holy Ghost. But it was just like as a new believer being filled with the Holy Spirit, everywhere she turned, it's like God, by His Spirit, revealed Himself to her. And it was just kind of an amazing, amazing story. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, our English word actually doesn't translate very well. Because all through the scripture, we read about the Holy Spirit. But if I'm sure you know this, but the Bible was written in three languages primarily. Mostly Hebrew, mostly Greek, and a little bit of Aramaic. And so when we look at it, we have two words again, that are used throughout the scripture, one in the Old Testament in Hebrew, one in the New Testament. The word for spirit in the Old Testament is ruach, with the ch at the end. And it literally means this. It means a wind, a breath, a violent exhalation, a blast of breath. Ruach. In Genesis, we read in chapter 1, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The breath of God, the wind, the blast of God was hovering over the earth. See, when we say spirit, our mind is, it contains it. But when you begin to think of the breath of God and the wind of God, this blast of it, it's hovering over the earth. Genesis chapter 2, 7, it says, and then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed the breath of life into him. The breath of God. It's a different word, but the same idea. The breath of God bringing life and being breathed into us. I think in Genesis chapter 17, if you know the narrative of Abraham. Well, Abraham was first called Abram. And after he believed God and God set him on this path, he changed his name to Abraham. But in the Hebrew, it would be Abraham. The H literally had that breath sound. Abraham. And he went from being the exalted father to the father of a multitude of nations. Because of God breathing over him and changing his name. that when we think of the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh, Yahweh, it's the breath of God. Sarah, she was Sarai at the beginning. Then she got pregnant and she had a child and God changed her name to Sarah. Literally that sound, that breath of God, and it changed her destiny from being a princess to being the mother of nations. The breath of God changed their destiny. The Spirit of God changed their destiny. In the Greek, the word is pneuma. Pneuma is used over 379 times, and it's a current of air, a blast of breath, a strong breeze. Ruach in the Hebrew, pneuma in the Greek, same meaning. We translate it Holy Spirit. When we talk about the Holy Spirit, we are talking about the breath of God. We're talking about the wind of God that blows over our lives and breathes into our lives. John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, the Spirit gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you, Jesus says, are spirit and life. Pneuma. The very words I've spoken to you are the breath of God. I'm trying to make this, I don't know if I can say it this way, more understandable. Because my experience and my years, people have got a wrong idea about the Holy Spirit. And we've tried to contain the Holy Spirit. We've kind of looked at it. But when you look at it from the perspective that the Holy Spirit, whenever you see that in Scripture, you can say, pneuma, that's the breath of God. That's the wind of God moving in my life. When you read the Old Testament, I should go back here. In the Old Testament, it's over 378 times the word spirit means ruach, the breath and wind of God. You're kind of hearing this basic thing, right? This means yes, this means yes. If you got AirPods, you can't go like that because then it'll turn it off or turn it on. But so I want to share with you four characteristics of wind this morning. What do we know in the natural? So if we think about wind, but as I'm talking about these four characteristics, can you be thinking about this is the Holy Spirit? This is the breath of God. And the first thought is this: wind is unseen. Sometimes we kind of get freaked out about that. If we can't see it, if we don't know it, we don't want to be a part of it. Wind is felt. It's a fresh breeze in your face. God's presence is to be felt and experienced. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be felt and experienced. The breath of God in your life is supposed to be felt and experienced. Do you ever have these moments sometimes when I did this morning in worship, and it's just like, and I said it that way because I just felt like the breath of God. Just, I needed that. You have those moments, sometimes we call them the aha moments, where you actually experience the presence of God. John 14 says this, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit. He is the pneuma. He is the breath of God or the wind of God who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it's not looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be with you. We can't see the wind, but we can see the effects and the results of the wind. We can't see the breath of God. We can't see the Holy Spirit, But you can see the effects and the results of the Holy Spirit in your life. He uses the word advocate or parakletos, and that's literally the helper. A helper, his job is to make God real to us. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We see God and we hear about God, and I have friends and they know the God of creation and all of those kinds of things, but he's not real to them. But it's the breath of God in your life that makes God real. Wilbur Smith writes this in one of his books. The paraclete is one who comes to our side to help us, to strengthen us, to encourage us, to support us in moments of weakness, and counsels us in the difficulties of life. We need to get a little wind in our sails. I love this verse in 1 Corinthians as well, chapter 2. And this is what we mostly as Christians quote. That is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. So people stop there, and that's like, oh, well, I love him, but I don't even know what he's doing. And people stop there and say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard the things of God. But there's a but in that sentence. And he says, but it was to us that God revealed these things to us by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's Spirit. We have received the breath of God. You have received the breath of God. You know that in Acts chapter 2, 38, 39, when it talks about repenting and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, and then he says, you shall receive the Holy Spirit. When you believe in Jesus, when you turn from your sin, when you get baptized, the Bible says you shall receive a breath from God in your life. You guys, the Holy Spirit is not weird. This does not have to be a freaky, scary thing. I don't know. This is literally, if we're followers of Jesus, we desperately need God's breath in us, God's wind over us. We cannot exist without it. My prayer this morning, I don't think I should admit this, but I just said, Lord, I can't do this. I need you. I can't. It's really not in me, but God can. Second thought about wind is unpredictable. You ever watched flags blow, at least at home, around the ocean? Oh, man, the flags, they fly all over the place. There's no one direction. But when it comes to the wind and breath of God, we prefer it to be more orderly. Come on. We want things to be in a way we can recognize it. Like if all of a sudden a rushing wind was in this place and we had no idea where it's coming from and what's it going to do, and it's unpredictable. God's breath, God's Holy Spirit is unpredictable. Not in a bad way, but it's just God has his way of doing things that is not our way. And we don't like unpredictability. We want to know exactly what is going to happen. But God sees things differently. And I think he's like that so that we don't worship a method or a strategy. I know we have our forms and we have our liturgies and stuff like that, but like this morning, God blows that all apart. We need to pray. Like, that's God. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, I felt for you as a family. I think they're sitting back there. I know this is a simple thing, and probably you've heard it over and over again, but the verse in Proverbs, just trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding, but acknowledge him, because he's the healer. and just keep praying that breath of God over Lily's life. Like Lily, it means like purity and fragrance. That's your daughter and the breath of God. But for you to continue to trust. I said it at the leaders' meeting on Friday, and I would say this has been a horrible year, but it's not a horrible year. It's just a weird year. Having to live without my spouse and learn how to do things and stuff like that. But I still would stand in front of you and say, all my life, he has been faithful. And I trust in God. He knows better. Like I've had people ask me, do you hate God? I said, hate God? I got to a point where I was so thankful for the years I got to spend with my wife. I mean, I get mad, or they said, like, do you ask why? And I said, well, I maybe have, but I know the answer. I don't know why. But God knows why, and I trust God. Wind is unpredictable. We want revival in Canada. We want to see changes in Canada, but if we try to squeeze God into our system and our structures, if we try to shape and form the Holy Spirit in the way we think God should move, that's not going to happen. Gordon Fee, in his book, Paul, the Spirit, and the People of God, most people prefer to reduce God to a size their own minds can grasp and subsequently control. It is also because people have been let down by the church, which treats the Spirit as a matter of creed and doctrine, but not as a vital experience reality in believers' life. We need to experience the breath of God. Listen, the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity, and often people would teach about God and they think about Jesus, but the whole issue of the Holy Spirit was different. We have a church in our city, and I'm really good friends with the pastor, and they're doing Alpha. And they do Alpha all the time, but when it comes to the Holy Spirit weekend, they don't show the videos. They teach their own doctrine. And after a couple of years, people said, why don't we watch the videos in Alpha on the Holy Spirit? Well, because he talks about speaking in tongues, he talks about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, he talks about all those things, and their church doesn't believe that. They have a different doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The third thought about wind is powerful. The breath of God is powerful. The Holy Spirit is powerful. Wind can generate electricity. When you drive into Palm Desert, and what is the place called? Palm Springs. And you drive on the highway, there's like hundreds and hundreds of these big windmills that generate all the electricity for the valley. Wind is powerful. It can move great sailing vessels. Wind can also destroy a city. We've watched that when we see hurricanes and tornadoes. And we have a church in Jamaica, and like the videos they sent of the destruction that came from the wind. I think of my front yard. The wind, when we get these stormy nights, it breaks off all the dead branches on trees. It's like God's way of pruning us, his Holy Spirit. When you experience the breath of God in his fullness, things begin to break away and things begin to fall away because you begin to experience the power of the Holy Spirit working through you. The Holy Spirit will come into your life and begin to remove all that hinders you from living as Jesus lived. John 16, verses 7 and 8 says, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. And if I do go away, then I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. That's the same for us. When you experience the Holy Spirit in your life, he begins to convict you of unrighteousness. He begins to convict you of the sin in your life and begins to reveal the righteousness of God and the truth of God. I put this in my notes. I believe it's critical for some here today to experience the wind of God's Spirit. For your marriage. For your job. For your kids. For your health. For your walk with Jesus. I think this morning is a time to set your sails to be filled with the wind and the breath of God. The fourth thought is this: wind is refreshing. Have you ever been in that place where it's just, I can't speak for here, but I know in certain places, like at home sometimes, it does get hot in BC. And sometimes it gets really hot. But when you go out to the ocean and you just feel that fresh wind, the refreshing wind coming off the ocean, it just kind of removes everything else. And we have that in our own lives. Acts 3:19 and 20 says, "Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah." God wants to take you on a journey where you can get some wind in your sails. I have a really long quote here, but I love this story. And I didn't tell you a lot about my story, but just before I read this quote, when Tamon and I were dating, we now call it missionary dating. I was not a believer. I told her I was. She asked me, she said, "Are you a Christian?" I said, "Oh, yeah. I've gone to church for 16 years. I had to be a Christian." And then she started talking about stuff. Like, she started talking about Jesus and a gospel and salvation. I never even heard about being saved. And so I kind of got through that part. And then she started talking about the Holy Spirit. I hate to say this, but I broke up our engagement twice over the issue of the Holy Spirit. Took the ring back, everything. I know you're not supposed to do that, but I did because it cost me a lot of money. But I could not understand and I could not grasp this whole idea that God wanted to be in me. His breath wanted to make me alive, and I did not understand that. I'd never even heard that before. It's like the believers in Ephesus. They got saved. They'd been baptized, but they'd never heard about the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's some of you here this morning who have never heard about the Holy Spirit. This is from Charles Finney, one of his diaries. He had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. He had an encounter with the breath of God. "But as I turned and was about to take a seat by the fire, I received a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Without any expectation of it, without ever having the thought in my mind that there was such a thing for me, without any recollection that I had ever heard the thing mentioned by any person in the world, the Holy Spirit descended upon me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression, like a wave of electricity, going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love, for I could not express it in any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God. I can recollect distinctly that it seemed to fan me like immense wings. No words can express the wonderful love that was shed abroad in my heart. I wept aloud with joy and love. And I do not know, but I should say, I literally bellowed out the unutterable gushings of my heart. These waves came over me and over me and over me, one after the other, until I recollect, I cried out." His heart was so full of... Now here's a man in the 1800s, mid-1800s, father of revival. Probably sitting down to read his Bible and knew God, knew Jesus, preached salvation, and the Holy Spirit came upon him. And I just love that writing that he had, because, you know, I can't make that happen. But it comes from us being willing to receive. And he was this man preaching the gospel, open to whatever God had for him. And it dramatically changed his ministry. It dramatically changed his life. I can honestly say that the being filled with the Spirit, for me, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, or let me just say it this way. For me, experiencing the breath of God and the wind of God over my life, it changed the whole trajectory of my life. It changed everything about who I was. It changed how I thought. It changed everything. And I believe that's what God wants for all of us. Is that that dramatic change in our life because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, by the breath of God who was given to us." Ephesians 4:30, and this is in the Message. "Don't grieve God. Don't break his heart. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted." So how do we do this? I just have three quick thoughts. Let go of your fears and misconceptions that are not based on the Bible. I'm serious. I know that you can listen to the best preachers in the world. You can hear podcasts. I could tell you, I won't mention his name, but there's one guy who says charismatic or the charismata. That's an aberration in the Christian faith. He says, "I abhor that." He speaks against charismatics, Pentecostals, anybody that believes in the Holy Spirit. He says, not true. So you can hear, and he's famous. You can hear famous speakers and podcasts. But my encouragement to you this morning, you start searching the scriptures. Just here, you could do this. Read John, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, 15, and 16. Just read those chapters. Jesus lays it all out. It's almost all red ink in my Bible. But it's all Jesus talking about sending the Helper, sending the Holy Spirit, and what the Holy Spirit will do, and how he will touch your life, how he will lead you, how he will guide you into all truth, that all of that. And then I would encourage you to read the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. Five times in the book of Acts, there's record of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in people's lives. And you might be sitting here this morning saying, "Yep, been there and I've experienced that." Well, hallelujah. Because these disciples, these apostles, every time there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they were there. Every time there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they received more of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in psalms and hymns and making and thanksgiving and making melody in your heart unto the Lord." Be filled with the Spirit. It's like the verb in there is keep on being filled. Keep on letting the breath of God come into your life. Keep on being open to the wind of God and the Spirit of God moving in your life. We have sometimes got complacent about that. Read those. I'm telling you, read John 14, 15, and 16 and the book of Acts. Just you only need to read, I think, the first. Well, if you read up to chapter 10, you'll see all of the experiences of the Holy Spirit. Trust the Lord. The Holy Spirit has to be reinstated in our lives in the church. He's been excluded in liturgies and creeds. And in some places, Gordon Fee says he's been excluded from the practices of life. I've changed this on my PowerPoint. I'm sorry for that. But the second one is this. Develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. We often have talked about the Holy Spirit as It has often been talked about the Holy Spirit as being this impersonal it. But the Holy Spirit has a personality. And even Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as he, the Holy Spirit. Or he, the promise of God. And it talks about the Spirit being grieved. The Holy Spirit is a living part of the Trinity. It is not an it and a thing that's out there. that you would develop an intimate relationship. We have God in our minds, in heaven and Creator. And we have Jesus who walked the earth 2,000 years ago. But presently, the Holy Spirit, the breath of God, the wind of God, lives in you and becomes a very present reality. And my last thought is this: go all in. You won't find all that God has for you if you go halfway. Jeremiah says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. And your life will change. All in with God. Don't create a filter of what you think you want or you think it should be. But you're going to just, I want you this morning to leave by saying, Holy Spirit, I'm going to let you come into my life and take control of my life. And I'm going to try and show this with a little illustration. But I'm going to need some volunteers, which I know is, you're up. I love that. I need two more. I'm not going to hurt you. I just need you. Okay, there's another one. Great. All right, come on up, Dan. I love this. These guys are great. Because you know what it's like, I think, in the church? In John chapter 7, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit being rivers of living water flowing up from your innermost being. I know what you think. But we often, so the Holy Spirit, we see it as oil, but we also see it as water. And the water of the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water. And some of us have the Holy Spirit, but we keep him at arm's length. I don't know if I want to completely let the Holy Spirit in my life. Like, I don't know. And then once in a while, you get into trouble, and I need a little bit of the Holy Spirit to help me through that little thing. And, you know, that you're pretty safe. Right? I need the Holy Spirit now. So, God, would you just come and just right now. The rest of it, I got work to do. And we keep the Holy Spirit at arm's length. And then sometimes we'll take a bit. Oh, that felt good. The refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Don't you love it? And we'll be living in our life and, oh, thank you, Jesus. Your Holy Spirit refreshed me. That's so good. How many of us live that way? Just a little bit of the Holy Spirit. We're not all in. Are you all in? That's my question. That felt good, though. Refreshing. You're safe. But boy, when you lose control and you don't like what's going on, I mean,
no. Jesus!
My question, are you all in? You didn't think I'd do that, would you? Thank you, you guys. Thanks, Brian. Listen, it's a simple thing, right? But I want to encourage you that maybe you're in one of those places where I'm not sure if I want all that God has for me. If this is an encounter weekend, you've got to make a place where you say, I give you my life. I am all in. God, whatever you had for me, it might be that I can't see what you're doing. That's the breath of God. It might be that it's unpredictable. Oh, I never thought you would do that, God. My life has been unpredictable this year. I never knew that he would take my wife from me. She just turned 70. She was completely healthy, wasn't even on medication. But I have to trust God, and I have to still say, Lord, I give you my life. And Lord, I want all that you have for me. I think for some of us, I never like to point fingers because I have to always include myself in this. We need that fresh breath of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've grown complacent. Maybe it's just like, I love what I see in this church, but I'm not sure if I want to go there. Listen, halfway does not cut it. I just want to encourage you, and I believe most of this church, you are all in. But this morning, who needs that fresh breath of the Holy Spirit in your life? And I just want to encourage you to come. And again, you remember, this is not me. It's God that does the work. He's the one that will touch you. He's the one that breathes on you. I don't breathe on you. But it's like Abraham, your destiny, your trajectory of life can be changed by the Holy Spirit. All in? I can get another bucket if you want. Do you want to stand with me, please? And I do. You have the worship. I got wet on that one too. But your worship team come? Yeah. But can I just invite you, if you're in that place this morning, I maybe will be able to pray for you. Len will pray, people will pray for you, but it's more us coming and receiving from him than, you know, tonight we'll be praying for people, but I felt like this morning is a morning for you to say, God, I give you my life. I am all in. Whatever you have for me, however you touch my life, just let your breath come upon me. So as they're leading us, I just want to invite you to come. And don't step on the water.